Good morning. Welcome to worship today as we gather once again in this Pentecost season to give our worship and praise to the God who has delivered us from sin and death. We turn to Him today, and as we focus and realize that He is the most important thing in life. In fact, there are going to be other things that come up, other people, other occasions that want to take the focus and the attention away from God. And we remember that first commandment, you shall have no other gods. If you remember your catechism instruction, you memorized what that means. It means that nothing takes His place as number one in our lives. Nothing is more valuable, nothing is more important. That's the struggle of life, though, isn't it? That's the difficulty that we have each and every day as everything and everyone wants to take that place from Him. And it's not always the easiest to put God first and foremost. Let's focus and think about that today and the reason why we want Him to be first priority in our lives. We begin with our opening hymn today. It is hymn number 736, a hymn that reminds us of our baptism. All Christians who have been baptized, everything today is printed for you in your worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into His presence and worship Him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask Him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We continue with the Kyrie. Let us pray. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all Your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from Your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. For the well-being of Your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by Your power and keep us in Your tender care. Let us pray. O God, You have prepared joys beyond understanding for those who love You. Pour into our hearts such love for You that, loving You above all things, we may obtain Your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We turn our attention now to God's holy word for our consideration and meditation today as we take a look at that theme of this Sunday. As we grow as Christians, we realize the true way to grow is by putting God and His word first and foremost. He must be first because of all that He has done for us. He must be first because He is the only way, truth, and life, the only hope and promise of heaven. When everything else falls away, when everything else crumbles around us, our Savior will still be there standing, eager and ready for you to be by His side. So we turn our attention first to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 28, verses 5 through 9. We read, "Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied and bring back the vessels of the Lord's house. And may He bring back all the exiles from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, listen now to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets from ancient times who came before you and me prophesied war, famine, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, only when the word of the prophet actually happens will that prophet become known as someone whom the Lord has truly sent. This is the word of our God. Our psalm of the day today is Psalm 89. We will speak this psalm together by the half verse responsively. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. The heavens praise your wonders, O Lord. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you. They rejoice in your name all day long. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, as it was in the beginning, our second lesson from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 1b through verse 11. We read, shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we go on living in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him by this baptism into His death, so that just as He was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with Him in the likeness of His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in the likeness of His resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with Him to make our sinful body powerless, so that we would not continue to serve sin. For the person who has died has been declared free from sin. And since we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that since Christ has been raised from the dead, He will never die again. Death no longer has control over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, also consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of our Lord. Would you join together with me as all together we speak the words of the verse of the day? If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Alleluia. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel from Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. Do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink because he is my disciple, amen, I tell you, he will never lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, His grace, mercy, and peace be with you today and always. Looking out, I can tell and realize that all of us, at some time in our lifetime, have experienced war. Now, I don't mean necessarily war on these shores, because it's been a long time since that's happened. But we've all known war. As our nation sends men and women to fight for whatever reason it is, and wherever it is that they are sent to go, we know what war is like. Variety of reasons why it might happen, aren't there? Take a look at the history of this world. If you've done any research or any thought into history, you realize that wars can be started almost over almost anything. The slightest bit of disagreement. You have something I want, and so I'll take it. You said something that I didn't appreciate. And so war starts. And in the midst of that war, after enough years have gone by, many of the people who are involved in it don't even realize why it's happening. It just is. And so the one thing that people begin to pray for, the one thing that they want above all else, in the midst of the war, I would have to figure would be peace. Right? Let the fighting stop. Let the bickering stop. Let the bloodshed stop. Maybe you know war, not in the traditional sense, but within your own family. Hotly debated topics that boil over into more than just hotly debated. And feuds and bitterness and bickering take hold. And what do you want? You want peace. You want to be able to come together for a family gathering and not have to worry about what he said or she said or what they're going to do. Stop all the fighting and let us get along. We bring about peace. That's how it always happens, right? The war happens, the battle happens, and peace comes after. Have you ever known it to be the opposite, though? That's the oddity that we have this morning as we take a look at Scripture, as we see what it is that Jesus tells His disciples in our gospel lesson. He says it happens the opposite way. This time, it is the peace of God, the fact that we who trust in Him have been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we have peace. It's that peace that causes the war, that brings about the fighting, because we live in a world that has still thoroughly rejected Him. See, Jesus wants His disciples to realize that life is not going to be easy for you. Not that Jesus is trying to scare you. That's not the purpose, that's not the case. He still encourages us to live for Him, to proclaim His Word. He's not telling His disciples that things are going to be difficult so that they kind of fold up and stay hidden in their own little dark rooms without having to worry about running into people and having that fight and confrontation. But at the same time, Jesus, He also doesn't lie to you. He doesn't tell you everything's going to be great and wonderful and peachy all the time. It's going to be hard. Because we live in a world that has so thoroughly rejected our Savior. Jesus says, if they hate me, they're going to hate you too. Because you are my disciples, you are my followers, and you're going to have to fight. I mean, look how much they hate Jesus. They crucify Him for crimes He never committed. They bring in false witnesses to say He did things that He never did, all so that they can get their form of vengeance. If they hated Jesus that much, that gives you a testament of what they'll think about those who follow and take on His name. And so Jesus warns that the fight will happen. And it's not going to be in the most convenient of times and best of ways. Matthew records this for us. The words of our Savior when He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Well, that seems a little ironic, doesn't it? What did the angels proclaim when Jesus was born? Do you remember? You think to what they told the shepherds, and they said, "Peace, peace He brings. Peace, goodwill toward men. This is the one who will bring about lasting and everlasting peace." And yet, what does Jesus say about Himself? He goes, "I didn't come to bring peace. Not in the way the world thinks. I came to bring peace. The idea of the Messiah was that Jesus, or I should say that the Messiah, they didn't believe it was Jesus, was going to come and he was going to bring a lasting peace on earth. That he would make a kingdom free of turmoil and trials and everything would be wonderful. And there's a lot of people still who believe the same about God, that his purpose is to bring about peace, at least in a worldly sense, to end all war and to get rid of disaster. You tell me where the Bible ever says that's going to happen. In fact, the Bible kind of says the exact opposite of that. Jesus says the exact opposite. I didn't come to bring peace on earth. You ask somebody, if you had one wish for the whole world, what would it be? I wish there'd be world peace. You've heard that before? Never going to happen. Jesus realizes that. He's honest. He's truthful. I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I came to finish the fight. I came to fight myself. To fight against Satan and the world and everything that sin has caused. I came to fight. And so you'll have to fight too. Why do we fight? Because we live in a world that is ruled not by God. He's in charge of all things. It's all His. But let's face it, there's a lot of people who listen to the prince of this world. Satan has his grip so fully and completely wrapped around sinful hearts and sinful minds that they don't follow God. They turn their back on Him. The world hates that message of peace because Satan hates that message of peace. He hates the fact that we have been forgiven in the blood of Christ. That perfect life and innocent death of Jesus is what is going to free us from sin and get us eternal life. He hates that. The world hates it too. Why do we have such peace? Why do we have such understanding that we are forgiven? Why can we live and say, let the world bring what it will? I have my Savior. The world hates that. And so the fighting starts. As the disagreements continue to mount, and they happen in the hardest to deal with places. Maybe you've experienced this in your own lives, in your own families, what it is that Jesus says next. Because he said, "For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." And the fight rages. It's easy to think that maybe we'll have to fight against the rest of the world. We have to fight against people we'll never meet, fight against people we never see, or fight against the people we don't really like. Well, that's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. And yet Jesus says, that's not where the fight's going to happen. Fight's going to happen in your own home. Fight's going to happen in your lives. You experience this? Most people have. So if you have, I'm not surprised. Where there's disagreements, even amongst family, against parents and children, grandparents, brothers and sisters, fight on who God really is, on what God really has said, and how it is that we should be living our lives. Should we be following God's word and will or not? Should we be going to church or not? Does it really matter in the end who God is? How does it affect me and affect my life? And all of a sudden, when people become really passionate about those things, which we should be, if we're not passionate about God and about His word, well, then there's a problem there. And as we get passionate about those things, that's when the fighting happens. And there's not much peace. This isn't what God wants. But He's honest enough to tell you this is what's going to happen. There will be fighting. And it's going to be hard. And it's going to hurt. And it's going to strain relationships that are even bound by blood. Because Satan has his grip on this world, and we are faced with that difficult question of who do we put first? That's what it's all about. Who is first and foremost in our lives? Because when it comes down to those disagreements, even amongst those who are the closest to us, in our own very families, when it comes down to those disagreements, who do we side with? Is it the family member we don't want to hurt, we don't want to offend? Well, whatever, I love them, I'm not going to tell them they're wrong. Or is it to side with God and say, Lord, you are first and foremost in my life. What you have said matters. What your word states is good. You ever experienced that? You've had that before? Where you have to make that tough decision, do I say something to those who are closest to me, to the loved ones who don't seem to be living according to God's word and will, who have turned their backs on God, who haven't been here to hear the word of God in years? What do I do? Do I keep the peace in the family and stay quiet? Do I take a stand and fight for my Savior because He is most important for me? I'm going to be honest with you now. I haven't always picked the fights I should have picked. I've been lazy at times. I haven't wanted the confrontation. I haven't wanted the fight. And I have placed other people and other things first, which in the end really wasn't in their best interest. Maybe you can admit the same. Our Savior says, I have come to bring the sword. There's not going to be peace in households. Not as long as sin reigns in this world. Not as long as that fight still goes on between Christians and a sinful society. Those fights will still be there as we are pulled in multiple different directions. But He says, keep me first. Because that's what truly matters, and that is what is important. Matthew continues, he says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That's hard, isn't it? What Jesus just said, that is hard. You have to be willing to forsake mother and father, son and daughter, if that is what it takes to be able to put me first and foremost. And if you're not willing to do that, then you're not worthy of me. That hurts to hear, because it's not what we want to hear. It makes us feel guilty because we haven't always done that. And yet this is what our Savior says. What is truly loving? When we see that war taking place, when we have those disagreements, when we have that fight between following God and His Word and not, even amongst our own family, what is the loving thing to do though? Is it to avoid the confrontation and the fight because we don't want to make someone feel bad or we don't want to push them farther away? Or is it truly loving to say, this is what God has said and this is what is for your eternal good? To leave the matter unresolved is just to invite people to continue to rebel against their God, and rebellion only leads to death. But it's hard, isn't it? I'm not saying it's not. God's not saying it's not. But He says, if you put me first, where I should be, if you are willing to forsake everything else, if you will carry your cross, your load of burden and trial and trouble in this life, only then are you worthy of me. And I have taken away your guilt and I have taken away your sin and you have life. The reward comes next. He makes sure to give us some good news because He says, whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives Him who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink because he is my disciple, amen, I tell you, he will never lose his reward. Even in the midst of the war, the midst of the fight and the struggle, as terrible as it may be, as uncomfortable as it may be, this is his promise. And yet, if you receive me, the reward will never be taken away. If you make a stand for my word, you don't have to worry about your salvation. Because I know who you are putting first. Now, don't get confused. It's not our ability to take the stand and our willingness to take a stand that somehow gives us salvation. No, our salvation is in Christ alone, and His blood freely poured. We are saved by what Christ did, not by our actions. Not at all. But it's that very knowledge that makes us take the stand and put Christ first in our lives. And by so doing, our faith is strengthened. We make a stand. It's not easy. It's hard. It's difficult. And yet, we do so willingly because of what our Savior has done for us, knowing full well that He is the only thing that matters. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And our reward in heaven cannot be taken away. No matter the fight, no matter the struggle, no matter how it shakes out, our Savior still stands there and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come to me, now I am giving you your rest." There's a lot of wars in this world. There's a lot of wars in our own homes. For some, maybe worse than others. But we put Christ first, because He is the only one who matters. In the end, our God is the only thing that is going to matter when this world comes to an end. And so may it be. May we be willing to take that stand for Christ and put Him first and foremost in our lives. May we make a stand for His Word so that all may know that they too have been saved by their Savior and Lord, and we have been given true peace because the battle against sin and Satan is over. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have the opportunity now to join together in confessing our Christian faith. You find the words of the Nicene Creed printed for you in your worship bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation He came down from heaven, incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We come now before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. All the stars, the sun and moon, all energies and forces, the sea and clouds are messengers of Your wonder and might. For Your creation we praise You, O Father. We pray for Your church and Your people. Grant us ministers and teachers who are led by Your Spirit and earnestly hold forth Your word of life. Save us from all false prophets and deceitful guides, that we, being knit together in love, may with one mind strive for the truth of Your word. Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness. Bestow Your favor on all useful labor in industry and agriculture, education and science, the profession and the arts, that in their advancement Your people may prosper. We pray for all who may be ill in body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in danger, for all who may be in any anxiety or perplexity, for all who have been suffering disappointment or defeat. Be present with them in their afflictions. Show them the way out of all their troubles and save them for Your mercy's sake. Lord God, You created man and woman in Your image, and it pleased You to unite them as one in holy matrimony. You have greatly honored marriage by making it a symbol of the spiritual union between Christ and His bride, the church. Grant that Brad and Rachel Bender may reflect this perfect love and commitment in their marriage all the days of their lives. May their home be Your temple and make their marriage a testimony to others so that Your name is glorified among us. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Heavenly Father, you did not spare your own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. Mercifully grant these and all other acceptable petitions that you read in our hearts in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In love, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He sends the Holy Spirit to testify that we are His children, to strengthen us when we are weak. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of His Christ. To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Hear the prayer of your people, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for His coming again, and that all who have received in His true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go now in peace. Live in harmony with one another and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated. There will be no closing hymn today, so this concludes our worship. I thank you all for joining us in worship today as we celebrate our Savior and all that He has given for us. And the very reason why we want Him to be first and foremost in our lives. Just a couple of announcements. We do have a change to our Vacation Bible School. If you have not heard yet, we had hoped to have a normal 4-day-a-week Vacation Bible School with everything that's going on. And we think it's just better and safer to do a 1-day VBS. That's what we're planning right now. It's going to be Thursday of that normal VBS week, and I've got to check my announcement because I will give the wrong date if I don't. Thursday, July 30th, it'll be from 3 to 5:30 p.m., followed by a picnic where hot dogs and water will be provided, and we're asking anybody else who comes out to that picnic, bring anything else that you may want, because that's all we are providing, and there's going to be no passing of dishes. That'll be for a while still. We did have, it would have been on Friday now, Pastor and Sue Riediger's daughter Rachel, that was the prayer for today, who is now Bender. We're joined together in holy matrimony, so we join in giving thanks to God for that and wishing them God's richest blessings. Now that is all the announcements that I have. I do encourage you to take a look at your weekly update for anything else. And God's richest blessings be with you until we see each other again.